That song said, "I shall know him." And the thoughts been going through my mind as we sang that, is he gonna know me? Am I gonna hear that welcome home, well done? Or am I gonna hear, "I never knew you"? Serious things for us to think about. So read you this morning on one of Jesus' precious name. I'd like for you to turn your Bibles to Exodus chapter 15. We're again continuing some of our studies in the book of James. I'm going to go back to chapter 13 and talk a little bit out of chapter 14 for a moment. But keep your finger there in Exodus 15. I've titled my message this morning, "The Tambourine," and I'll explain that here in a bit. When we go back to chapter 13 of Exodus, we have the story of the Israelites leaving Egypt. And as they were leaving, as they got close to the Red Sea, they looked behind them and they saw Pharaoh and his army coming. And it brought fear to them. They thought they were mad. They thought that they were gone. And not so much enough that they came to Moses and they said, "Why don't you just leave us back there in Egypt? Why did you bring us out here just to kill us?" But if you go to verse 13 of chapter 14, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, fear not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord." Moses wanted them to understand that God is going to fight this battle for them. He said in verse 14, "The Lord shall fight for you. Ye shall have your peace." Then we go further. Verse 21. God had told Moses, when you get to the Red Sea, and I want you to take your staff and I want you to reach your hand out across the Red Sea, I'm going to make a way for you. The sea parted, and they walked through. As they got to the other side, they looked back, and here was Pharaoh and his army down in the center, on their way. And it says God troubled them. The wheels started falling off of their chariots. And all of a sudden, the Egyptians realized their God's fighting for them. We better head back. But again, Moses reached out his staff. The waters came back, and it was all over. God again was victorious. Now let's go to chapter 15, verse 1. "And now on the other side, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. But he hath sent his rod and hath thrown into the sea." We continue there. It goes all the way into verse 19. But I want us to focus on verse 20 and 21 here for a minute. It says, "And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took out a timbrel." A timbrel is a tambourine. "Took out a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with badges." She brought her timbrels along. They played games with them. I don't know a thing about playing this thing, but I can make noise. But I want us to think about this morning. In verse 21, Moses says, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider have thrown into the sea." What I want us to think about this morning is when Miriam and the children of Israel left Egypt. I have no idea what to decide. What do I take along? What should I pack away? Did they have a rider to get back there and leave the instruments into? And did Miriam decide, "God's going to live, I'm taking that in the fridge with me"? I don't know what she was thinking, but it says the other ladies also came out with their tambourines. And they praised God. They shook their tambourines and they sang and they danced and they were dancing after you when you get home. They had to shake this tambourine. But they worshiped and they praised God for the victory. I want us to think this morning about this tambourine as a symbol. When we look at Miriam, they're stepping out, picking up the tambourine. And that's the thing about this tambourine this morning, as a symbol of trust. And that's the thing about it, as a symbol of hope and deliverance and worship. So this morning, we're going to remember what the Bible is talking about, picking up a trampoline. Picking up a tambourine. You died, my friend, he died. Stephen died. There were others that they knew, they walked away. God was victorious in all of this. Not all of these stories turned out that good, we think. And when I look at the cross, and I see Jesus on the cross, and I see him dying, it's easy for me to think he lost. But Jesus didn't lose, did he? Sin and ruin came, and he had to picture Satan. As Jesus walked out of that grave, Satan ran for cover. Satan lost. Jesus came out as a victor. You and I can be on his side this morning, on the side of victory. We too carry our tambourine. We love him, we serve him, not for what we can get out of it. But I want to say this at the forefront this morning. We serve him because we want his name to be lifted up, to be honored, to be glorified.
That is our purpose, to make his name great. I'd like you to turn to James chapter 5. We're going to be looking a bit at this scripture that talks about anointing with oil. Now, I've run through this scripture many, many times, and I've come up with more questions than I have answers for, I believe. But I want us to look at this morning, and some of this scripture can really frustrate us. It can actually derail our walk if we allow it to. But I want us to understand this morning what he's trying to tell us in some of this scripture. We're going to read in James 5. I'm sorry, I should have given you the reference. James 5, we're going to read in verse 13. And down through verse 18. James 5, 13 says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." That's where we're going to stop. Let's go back and pick these verses apart a little bit. Verse 13 talks about being afflicted. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." I'd like to read a couple of verses out of Psalm 50. Verse 14 and 15 says, "Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee. Thou shalt glorify me." We begin with thanksgiving, offering thanksgiving to God. So important in our walk. Now, it's interesting, I wasn't planning to talk about this, but it's interesting in our society today, we find so much depression, we find so much struggles because of different things that are happening, but there's one thing that helps us through those struggles, and that's thanksgiving. When we have a thankful heart, it turns things around for us. I am not in any way belittling the suffering that's going on in our world today. Not a bit. I know what it is. But when we begin to be thankful, things begin to turn for us. I want us to think about that. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." We begin with thanksgiving. It isn't the sacrifice. I went the wrong direction. It isn't the sacrifice that brings pleasure to God, but the willing, obedient heart of the sacrificer. Praise and thanksgiving from a pure heart. We made promises to God, at least I have. And I wonder sometimes, am I keeping those promises? Am I walking according to what I told him? Am I heeding the Holy Spirit? Am I walking in obedience? Have I given him control of my life? And that's a big question we need to ask us this morning. Have I given him control? Have I come to the place where I've allowed him to step in and show me the direction, show me the way? The word afflicted here means to suffer hardship, and I don't think there's anybody here this morning that hasn't suffered hardship, or many of us are maybe going through hardship right now. That's the word afflicted. But he has answers for us. He says, pray. Let God control. Why? Because he is victorious. He will lead us through so we can bring him honor and glory. What is your affliction this morning? Tell God. He wants to hear. He wants to answer for you. He's waiting. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. There's a couple of scriptures there in Ephesians 5. It says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's key in all of this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I had to think about Paul and Silas. They really didn't have anything to be thankful for, it doesn't seem like, but yet, while they were sitting there in the stocks, in the prison, in the dark of night, they sang praises to God, and God began to move. It's not the situation that we are in that causes us to stumble or to praise, but rather it's the attitude of our heart. What is the attitude of my heart today? Am I finding satisfaction in him? Am I finding that freedom in him, even in my darkest hour? It's easy when things go good to praise him, isn't it? But when worship is our way of life, our troubles will not alter our praise. Think about that this morning. When worship is our way of life, our troubles will not alter our praise. Oh, we're going to trip up. I realize that. It's hard. But if we make that a way of life, God can work. He can move in and through us. James 5:14. He says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. The word sick here has the idea of being feeble. It has the idea of being diseased. Not dead, but having a disease. It's talking about the impotent man in Scripture. Somebody that's weak. And it just means sick. Now there's some that would say we do not anoint until somebody is next door to death. There's some that would say if you have a cold, you anoint. He doesn't tell us exactly how. But he says anoint. Sometimes we have some kind of a sickness and the first thing we want to do is call the doctor, and I'm okay with that. Because as you're calling, maybe you're also praying. I believe prayer is very, very important. But let's not throw the doctor out the door. God has given doctors wisdom to know how to work with sickness. We need doctors. So let's be careful that we don't throw that out the door. But together, and sometimes God heals miraculously. We've seen that. Let him call for the elders of the church. Why are they calling? Because they want healing. They desire something. They want to act in faith. And it talks about the elders of the church. The elder actually has two different meanings. It could be somebody that's older in the faith. Somebody that has grown. That knows the word of God. Or it can be the church leaders. So we pray over them, we anoint them with oil. So we put the oil on them and poof. Does the oil have anything magical in it? No. The oil has nothing magical in it. But it's acting out of faith. The oil represents the Holy Spirit. And I love this thought. That when we anoint, we give ourselves completely to him. To work in us. And he can make a change in our hearts, in our lives, in our sickness. Because the Holy Spirit is in control. Then it comes to verse 15. It says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. So there is something here that we need to think about. As we pray, we have faith. We believe that God is going to move. But I don't think we want to sit here and point fingers at different times where we have anointed and we did not see healing. We'll come to that in just a bit. He also says, and if ye have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And we'll tie that in with the next verse, where he talks about confessing your faults one to another, pray one for another that you may be healed. So maybe there are times when sicknesses come from sins in our lives. And I believe as we pray and we seek forgiveness, there's times God touches, but it's not always from that. Yeah, we can go back to the garden, we can point to that and say, yeah, it comes from sin. I understand that. But the sicknesses that we face are not always from a sin that we've committed. One of the things I think we need to realize is that we are human. And as human bodies, we fall apart, don't we? We have sicknesses. We have struggles that we face. But he talks about confessing faults one to another. And I believe there is so much power, not just in this scripture, but in other scriptures, where he talks about confessing to each other. If there are struggles between brothers and sisters, confess. Pray together. Forgive. And let it go. And love each other. He says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And I could spend lots of time on that phrase in the next couple of verses. We don't have time for that this morning. That's another message. But I want us to think about the effectual fervent prayer for a bit here. True faith produces fervent prayer. Maybe you want to flip-flop that. What is fervent prayer? I've struggled with that one for quite a while. But I came to the idea in my studies that fervent prayer is energetic prayer. It comes from deep within. Oh, we can hear energetic prayers. We can hear somebody pray a beautiful, beautiful prayer, and it can be from the top, can't it? Nothing deep. But a fervent prayer is going to come from deep within because our heart's desire is very fervent. It can be a simple prayer, or it can be a very energetic prayer that is powered by the Holy Spirit. But praying fervently, and it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Last time I preached, I think I made comment on this, that sometimes the effectual fervent prayer, the effectual part of it, doesn't only change our sickness, but it changes us. And maybe that's what God is seeking for in the sickness. He's doing a work within us. We are changed. Why? Because we want to honor and glorify God. I want us to go to some verses here in Romans 8. Some verses that are so easy for us to take and think that what God is going to do is for my advantage. In fact, there's many that would teach that in these couple of verses that we have here. Let's read these verses. He says, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. By the way, that word weakness there has the same root word as the word sick that we just got done reading in verse 15. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for. Been there? Have you? Sometimes we wonder, God, really, what is it that you want us to seek out here? Now listen to this. But he says, the Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father knows all the hearts. I'm sorry. And the Father knows, who knows all the hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying because they're in communication. For the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. I find a lot of comfort in that. The Spirit pleads for us as us believers in harmony with God's own will. And this is the verse that we get hung up on from time to time. Because we like the idea. Maybe it's a little bit like the prayer of Jabez when that was big coming around. God's going to make me wealthy. God's going to expand everything, and I'm going to make it in this world. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. What's he telling us here? Oh yes, it's for our good. But he does not say here that he's causing everything to work together so I become wealthy. But he's saying he's causing everything to work together here according to his purpose for them. What is his purpose for us? To grow strong, to draw close, and to honor and glorify his precious name. So there's a question that I asked this morning. Elijah, we didn't even cover these verses, did we? Let's go back to Elijah for a minute. It says Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. That's basically saying that Elijah was human like we are. It's hard for us to imagine that because he prayed. Listen to what he prayed here. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That was quite a drought because of Elijah's prayer. Human like we are. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. There's something I want us to pick out of this real quick here. Elijah knew God's word and he knew God's will, so he prayed fervently. Now I want us to think about that this morning. Are my prayers not fervent for the idea that I don't know his will? And the reason that I don't know his will is because I'm not looking for it. Where am I going to find his will? Somebody tell me. Where will I find the will of God? How about here? We don't know the will of God because we haven't found it. And we haven't found it because we haven't opened the book. We don't know his will because we don't get our knees in front of the Father and ask him to show us what he wants in life. So we don't know his will because we have not sought him. We haven't drawn close to him. Been there also. So if we want to know his will, we need to seek him. We need to tap into what he has for us. I want us to imagine for a minute that as we seek God, there's a connection point. I can walk up to a light switch. The power is there, but until I reach out and I flip that switch, the lights do not come on. I want us to think about reaching out and flipping that switch is seeking God and opening ourselves to him. And the lights come on, don't they? Living in obedience. James says, confessing our sins. We're ordinary men and women just like Elijah, aren't we? And we would like the idea that we can attain this. Sorry, I missed something here. Looking for my next piece here. But we must be willing to confess our sins. There's something that I noticed in Matthew 11 this morning as I was still looking at the word. It says, then began he, Jesus, to upbraid or denounce the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done. His miracles were done. And I was going to talk about that a little bit, and I missed that. But talking about miracles today in our life, one of the reasons, maybe I should say this, we don't see a whole lot of miracles right now, do we? We don't think we do. But I want us to think about miracles for a minute this morning. Did God change? And I know he works different in us than he did back in the time of the disciples. I realize the miracles were there for a purpose. But does God no longer work miracles in our lives? He's still the same God. He is still the same God. We are human. And I believe one of the reasons that God is not working miracles in our lives is because we don't need Him. We're too self-sufficient. When we get back here into the pastor study, we go to somebody's house and they ask for an anointing. There's a need. We realize we have a need. And we're open to let God work however He wants to work. And there's times we've seen some beautiful miracles because we had need. Is it because we don't realize we have need? I'll throw that out to you to think about this morning. Let me finish that verse. Then began he to upbraid or to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works were done. Why did he do this? It says, because they repented not. Oh. They repented not. God desires repentance. He requires repentance. If we're going to walk with Him, if we want the power that He offers us, He requires repentance. We must admit our failures, our weaknesses. And when we do this, we become vulnerable, don't we? Vulnerability is not a fun thing. I don't like to open myself up to others. I don't like for somebody to look into my life and to see all the filth and the dirtiness. But if we're going to come to Him, we expose some of that stuff. And we bring it to Him and we confess. And maybe it takes a brother or sister to come and put their arms around us and pray with us and help us to find victory. Through confession, prayer, that we position ourselves to live righteous lives, to see answers to our prayers. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Continually coming before the Father, seeking His face. There's a verse in Psalm 5:3. He says, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. I come to Him expecting. I'm looking up. I'm waiting for Him to work in my life because I've come to Him and I've opened myself. I've made myself vulnerable and I've repented. And He begins to work in my life. I look up. We must remember that God's faithfulness, that it is God's faithfulness that we are calling on. It's His character, the faithfulness. It's about a God who longs to connect with us, to help us in our time of need. We must have faith that He's willing and able to do far more than we could ever ask or imagine. We must remember, prayer is about ordinary people calling on an omnipotent God. And that's my heart cry this morning, I guess. That I would step out in true faith, in prayer, seeking forgiveness, seeking answers from God. That I would pick up my tambourine this morning. That I would step out, trusting, hoping, knowing that God's going to deliver me. Maybe not how I call deliverance, but He's going to deliver me because He is victorious. And if I want to be on His side, then I give myself completely to Him. And I allow Him to work in my heart however He desires. I come trusting, I come hoping, I come knowing deliverance comes only through Him. And then we come worshiping. Then we come worshiping, desiring above all else that it's His name that is magnified. Not me, not us, not you, but God. It's His name that we're desiring to lift high. Can you imagine when you step across those pearly gates and you meet Him face to face? And He says, I remember that time that you lifted me high. He doesn't forget. Think about that this morning. I remember when you loved on that person. Look what I have for you. What if God is waiting to give us so much here in this life as we commit ourselves to Him and we come to heaven and He goes to a room, a warehouse, and He opens up the door and there's tons and tons of providence there. And He says, those actually were all yours if you would have just come and called on me. Friends, this week, let's call on God. Let's seek Him with all of our hearts. I want us to get excited about that this week. If you have sin in your life, that's going to hold you back. That's not going to let you seek Him openly. Confess your sin. Be open before Him. He knows it anyhow. Be open before Him and let Him fill you with His Spirit and worship. Bring Him honor. Bring Him praise. So pick up your tambourine this week. Take it with you. Don't be scared to rattle it. God's going to receive honor and glory in how you walk with Him. I'd like for you to stand this morning. I want to read a psalm this morning in closing, and I'm going to read this as a prayer. If you were to close your eyes, I'm going to read it slow. And I want you to pray this with me as I read through here. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto Thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For Thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in Thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of Thy wings. For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. So will I sing praise unto Thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. God, we thank You so much. We thank You so much, Lord, that we have this opportunity to come and to open ourselves before You. We thank You, Lord, that You don't stand there with a whip ready to beat on us. But, Lord, You stand there with open arms, desiring for us to come to You, to repent and to seek forgiveness, to seek freedom, to seek peace. Lord, help us to realize this morning that that peace is not found anywhere but in Your will. And help us not to be afraid this week, Lord, to step out. To step out in faith, to shake those tambourines, and to honor and glorify You most of all. Father, we bless You. Dismiss us with Your presence. We honor You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to end this morning with just saying, God loves you. You are secure in Him.